Accession number 28750, reel number 15.
Laurie Manton, reel 15. You're going to tell me something about Alistair Duncan?
Oh yes, Alistair Duncan, very courageous commanding officer of the Prince of Wales' own Yorkshire Regiment. And he was much more calm than Bob Stewart was with the Cheshires. But I was listening to military radio when this message came in, and it said the commanding officer's warrior has just gone over a mine. And following behind him was Kate Ady and her camera crew. And he'd actually gone up to a roadblock, and I think there was a tree trunk across the road. And as they reversed away from it, they just reversed slightly off the road a bit, and it hit a mine, which blew the track off. And Kate Ady had filmed this. Her cameraman had filmed it, and it's a spectacular bit of film. And I remember it on national television at the time, where he just goes back and suddenly woof, and there's this huge cloud of smoke and flame all around the vehicle. Thankfully it didn't go through the hull or anything like that, while they're all stood at the top with their heads out, so they're all sort of a bit deaf and all the rest of it. And we waited for him to get back, and he got back to the press centre at 11 o'clock at night, and all the media's there, and said what's happened, and he said Kate, and she stuck the videotape and the TV machine there, and everyone watched it. And he said, you know, it was quite a shock. It's not as if it was a hidden mine that you just run over, you're just reversing out of the way, and boom, it goes off. But it was a timely reminder to people, and I think that was not long after a supply column had been going on one of the mountain sort of tracks, and some guy driving a tanker, the Serbs had put a round through, went straight in between his two protective plates, just went on the side and killed him, so knocked him out. And we had a guy who was working temporarily for British Forces Broadcasting, making a documentary, and it was John Rudler Thompson, I think, and he was a newsreader, a local newsreader in the UK, who I'd seen on telly, and they went off in their Land Rover into the next town to get some footage. And they'd had to run for their lives. The Land Rover was blown up with rockets. They all ended up behind a wall that was being hit with maybe heavy machine gun fire that was destroying the bricks one by one. So they didn't stay long. They had the biggest shock of their lives, and they were gone. They vanished. They'd had enough. But I think the culmination for me was getting an attachment with the 1st Battalion, the Devonshire and Dorset Regiment. And it's not commonly known that before NATO started things proper, they decided they were going to make a land entrance into Sarajevo, because the only way in and out had been by flying in. And the British forces were going to take a section of the road that would allow the UN forces to proceed into Sarajevo. And they'd worked out their battle plans. They'd briefed all the soldiers. It's quite interesting. Our Bosnian interpreter had spent so long with the Princess of Wales' own Yorkshire regiment previously, that he now had a broad Yorkshire accent when he spoke English, which is hilarious. But it was what the military call a on the bus, off the bus situation. You know, prepare to attack, stand down, prepare to attack, stand down, which you get quite used to. But we were assigned a vehicle and we were going to be up in the, with our heads stuck out the top of that, as the Serb forces were attacked to create this breach in their defences to get the main UN force through. And we spent 48 hours in and by this vehicle, and sometimes in the vehicle with the engines running, waiting for someone to say attack, and in the end it was called off. Felt it, you know, it could be they felt it might be too costly, or there are other ways, you know, they could destroy all the Serbian army forces by air attack and such, which they did a lot of. But this would have been a really earth-shattering event, that British forces, you know, attack the Serbian army to relieve Sarajevo. And it was very disappointing that the battle didn't take place.
Did you ever come across the Americans? Because I think they went in right at the end, didn't they? Would you have been there when the Americans went in, their forces?
They went in when it switched to being S4 or I4, international force, as opposed to UN protection force.
Was it after your time?
Yeah. The only people I spent some time with separately to the British forces was spending a few days with the French Foreign Legion and going out on patrol with them. And that was quite interesting, for the fact that it was the French Foreign Legion and their real fighting warriors, and to see the French rations, which included, you know, cartons of red wine and all the rest of it, you know, quite incredible rations.
And they were effective force. They were.
Oh yes, yeah, they were very, very good.
And have you been back in more peaceful times to Bosnia?
No, I haven't. No, I've thought about it. One of the first things I did when all the troubles started there, I found a car boot sale, a tourist guide for the area, which was published before the trouble started, and I was looking, Vitez is a very nice town that produces this, that, and I think, I can't believe this. That's strange. But I'd be quite interested to go back on a sort of, if you like, a battlefield tour, but yeah, it would look so different, I would imagine.
Well, thank you very much, Laurie, for telling me about Bosnia today.